Something the U.S. and Europe have in common, missing debt-cutting deadlines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Debt problems continue to plague folks on both sides of the Atlantic. In Spain over the weekend, voters elected conservative Mariano Rajoy as the country's new leader, and he's promising to take and make tough budget cuts to get a grip on the country's debt problems. Well, here in the U.S., there are only a few days left before a deadline to tackle big budget deficits here, and congressional supercommittee members not able to find common ground will probably throw in the towel. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live and has the latest on how the rest of the world is looking at another missed debt deadline here in the U.S. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Are Europeans really paying attention to all this, this supercommittee and its possible failure?
They certainly are. There is one more bit of bad news. The fear, of course, is that if there's further political gridlock in Washington, there'll be further downgrades of the U.S.'s credit rating. By the way, Steve, this does give the Europeans a small fleeting moment of grim satisfaction because it was only last week that President Obama was chiding the Europeans for failing to get their debt crisis under control.
Grim satisfaction. All right. But the U.S. debt problem isn't anywhere near Greece or Europe, right?
No, the Eurozone debt crisis is much worse and apparently deteriorating. As you said, we've just had a new government elected in Spain with a mandate to cut the deficit, and yet Spanish borrowing costs went up this morning. There's much more pressure on Europe than in the US. Here's Stephen Lewis, a bond expert with Monument Securities.
The US doesn't need to act as swiftly as the European authorities because the consequences of failure for the US administration are not as dire as they probably will be for the Europeans.
After all, he says, there's the possibility that one or more Eurozone governments could go bust and that the Euro itself could break up. No one seriously believes the US is going to default or that the dollar would disappear.
All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Well, the fact that nothing has come out of the budget talks with only a few days left before that deadline isn't surprising to Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan.
They were never going to work together to find budget cuts, and the reason is there turns out to be no downside from not finding them, at least not any real downside.
Not really downside, so no ramifications at all?
Well, in theory, in I think 2013, the government is supposed to reduce automatically defense spending by about 10% if nothing happens, and something is supposed to happen to social problems. But it's a long time between now and 2013, and you know perfectly well nothing will happen.
Don't these people, Alan, want to cut the budget and do something to secure the nation's, the credit rating that could be in jeopardy or whatever? I mean, just the nation's credit in general for future generations.
I assume that they want to do it, but they want to do it their way. And the Republicans have never seen any increase in government revenues that they like, and the Democrats are more compromising, but in the end are not going to sit there and cut the living stuff out of programs that they like. So it's just not going to happen.
So you're saying the supercommittee was doomed from the very beginning.
All right. I am proud to say that in August, I wrote a rant that Fortune called American Idiots, and I called this plan a deficit trimming deal so absurd you have to laugh when you think hard about it. So I never thought hard about it, and now I'm laughing.
Does this mean, Alan, that we'll never have nice things because the Congress, and dare I say the nation, is so polarized that no one's just ever going to budge, not even to advance the greater good?
Well, sooner or later, something is going to happen if there's a crisis. And I hear that there's a rumor there's some election in 2012.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
I think I have.
And I think after that, things will resolve one way or the other. You and I may not like it, but at least it will give us something to talk about on the radio.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. While worries about big government debt here and abroad have markets again on the slide, European shares are down 2-3% right now. President Obama is set to sign a bill today that would create tax breaks for companies that hire unemployed veterans. Wall Street Friday, markets ended the week mixed. The NASDAQ and S&P lost a little. The Dow added 25 points to close at 11,796.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a raise-your-rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. by Fox Searchlight Pictures, presenting The Descendants, starring George Clooney, from Alexander Payne, director of Sideways and About Schmidt, in theaters in November. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Later today, computer hardware giant Hewlett-Packard will report its earnings. The company fired its CEO a couple months back and hired former eBay chief Meg Whitman. Well, now it's added an unorthodox member to its board, and Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports the company's new strategy seems to be, if you can't beat them, let them join.
Activist investors are like any activists, outsiders. That's why analyst Brian Marshall of ISI Group says it was a surprise when HP announced activist shareholder Ralph Whitworth is taking a seat on its board.
I'm sure Ralph approached the board, said we can do it this way, we can do it that way.
Kind of like that line from the A-Team.
Now, we can do this the hard way or the easy way.
The board picked the easy way. The company's last three CEOs were fired or resigned in controversy.
Many of us who teach in corporate law use HP as sort of a case study of board dysfunction.
UC Berkeley law professor Eric Talley says when Whitworth agreed to take a board seat, he also agreed to a board requirement that he not push for a sale, spinoff, or merger.
By tying his hands with these restrictions, maybe you've sort of insulated yourself from that type of shareholder activism over the next 2, 3, or 4 years.
Which is just the kind of honeymoon the company could use with its new CEO, Meg Whitman. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, the computer application firm Splash Data compiled its list of the 25 worst passwords of 2011, words that provide the least amount of internet security. Well, the usual suspects are there, 123456789, ABC123, Sunshine and I Love You also made the list. Those are really sweet and apparently very hazardous to your computer. But the password with the most security holes in it is password. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Everybody knows unemployment is bad, so it makes sense, right, that people need to find a way to take the pressure off?
People have not stopped having sex in California. We are still seeing a growing population.
Which means you have to find something for them to do. I'm Kai Rizdal. Foreclosures, joblessness, and all the rest in California's Inland Empire. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.